Welcome to KUOW's Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this extra episode, here's a cliche for you, one that benefits from being true. Being a parent is hard, and most of us need all the help we can get navigating it. Sharon Ballantyne wants to help. She's a life and parenting coach and the author of The Art of Blissful Parenting. In it, she writes about the ways parents can build rich, lasting, meaningful relationships with their children. But it's not all about the bliss. One of her suggestions, give yourself, not just your child, a time out when things get stressful. Her reading and talk offer helpful tools and suggestions for any parent. Ballantyne spoke at University Bookstore on August 2nd. Thank you to Lynette Hoy for our recording.
In my book, I talk about what I feel are the three most important aspects in parenting, which is one's internal guidance system, our inner GPS that we all have, the intention for our parenting, and our alignment, which is our place of happiness. The combination of those three things can allow us to have and be the kind of parents that we want to be. So before I talk about those three things, I'm going to read the introduction from my book. Parenting is a lifelong commitment. While parenting can be a beautiful experience, not every moment is blissful. Are we all in agreement? Not every moment, and it's not supposed to be. In The Art of Blissful Parenting, I offer you an expanded perspective of yourself, your child, and the most important job in the world, being a parent. I want to show you how to have a more joyful connection with your child and a more stress-free parenting experience by accessing and following your internal guidance system. Your IGS informs you through your feelings and intuition which path will serve you best and make you happy. Familiarizing yourself with this powerful system will allow you not only to be in a more joyful state, which we all want, but also to teach your child about his or her IGS so that they can choose for themselves the path that serves them best. Throughout the book, I provide practical tools as well as spiritual guidance that applies to children of all ages, including young adults. I've also integrated various personal stories that illustrate a range of parenting concerns, you know, from schools and friends. Don't we worry sometimes about the friends our children choose, the friends they choose? I know I did. Regardless of the challenges you may be facing as a parent, my hope is that The Art of Blissful Parenting will inspire you to create your own blissful experiences with those whom you cherish most dearly. So as I mentioned, the internal guidance system is that heart space, you know, your gut that you've all heard about or you may even use regularly. It's that part of you that propels you towards something because it sounds so wonderful and you really want to do it or have it, or it sends you running in the other direction. You know, if we're listening carefully, our internal guidance system our internal guidance system connects us to our well-being. And in that well-being, all of our highest answers are found. So what is the key to really tapping into that? You know, we tap in through our feelings. You know, do we feel good about something or do we feel not good about something? And alignment is the key. Remember I said alignment was one of the three. We cannot successfully tap in and really hear our best messages if we aren't in alignment. And what does that mean? That means we aren't feeling good. We aren't pushing against things. We're feeling happy. Have you ever in your own life tried to make important decisions or make a choice that you just knew was the best choice for you when you were feeling bad? You've probably found it doesn't go very well. The key to tapping into your internal guidance is through your alignment, is to feeling good first and then pay attention to how you're feeling. And the third one is intention. You know, what is the intention for your parenting? Have you ever given it any thought? I gave it thought because I was terrified to leave it to chance. And I really believe in intention. It is the rocket fuel toward our desires. You know, when we purposefully, deliberately intend something, it sends that energy skyrocketing toward what we want. Intention, it's very powerful. And we have our everyday intentions. We get up in the morning, that's an intention, get ready for work. But I like to call those casual intentions. They're casual. You intend it, but it's not that really powerful, strong intent. I don't do anything. I try not do anything in my life without fully intending the outcome I want first. Even if I'm just going to lunch with a girlfriend, I set that powerful intention and I say, I want this lunch to feel good to both of us. I want to have a great time today and I want it to be beneficial for everyone. You know, we can intend in our smallest things or our largest things, being our families probably. So in giving thought to what you intend for your parenting, you might want to write it down. You might want to jot down some things of what you want. So what I did, I watched my friends that had older kids. When my three kids were this big, they had older children, and I was able to see what kind of a relationship they had with their older kids and how it felt good to them most of the time. So I didn't have to know how my friend parented day to day. I just had to hold that powerful intention of where I wanted to be when my kids were older. And how I felt during the interactions with my kids, if I felt really good about how we were interacting, I knew that I would be getting closer to that goal of having a great relationship with them when they're grown. And if I didn't feel good, I knew that I was not being an inspiration to my children in that moment, and we weren't benefiting in the way that I wanted us to benefit, and we weren't moving toward that great relationship. So the part I'm going to read is setting your intention. When my kids were very young, I decided to define and intend the kind of relationship I wanted with them. As I mentioned, because I was slightly terrified to leave it to chance. I knew I wanted to be emotionally close, spend as much time with each child as possible, and teach the kids to follow their own paths by listening to their own internal guidance systems. I also very much wanted a friendship with them once they were grown, envisioning myself being very involved in their lives. To achieve this, my parenting would have to be conscious and deliberate with a clear outcome in mind. By observing friends who had older children, I was able to define the kind of relationship I wanted, and those relationships served as a model. I was able to hold and define the clear outcome of that end intent. My studies of the law of attraction and the universe has shown me that having an intention propels that energy very quickly forward toward everything that you want. And we're always moving forward. But the intent is the powerful energy that serves as our rocket engine. I clearly intended what I wanted and also how I was going to get there. We know life is a process. And I was going to have to hold this intention in my consciousness as I move forward and live daily life with my family. But how was I really going to get there, I wondered. I knew the end result I wanted, but that was a long way down the road. And this end result would be the sum of all the interactions with my children during their childhood. That's a lot of interactions, isn't it? That's a whole lot. I had to handle every situation holding that end result vision. My intent wasn't something I thought about every day. That would drive us crazy. Once I had clearly set it into motion, it was held in my consciousness. It was always there and came to my conscious mind when particular situations came up with my kids. At those times, I was reminded of my intent and could then determine whether or not I was moving toward that or away from that, like I mentioned earlier, based on how I was feeling. So parenting from my highest self, which I knew would get me to my goal, could only be determined by me, not anyone else on the outside of me. And this would mean following my internal guidance system and being aware of how I was feeling as I was raising my children and dealing with whatever situation came up, you know, the situations that feel good and the ones that don't feel good. Just about every situation in a parent's life offers a choice to be fully present to your child and offer a deliberate response or to respond reactively. Have we ever responded reactively?
No.
As I was learning to be more aware and deliberate, I had many reactive responses. And so what is a reactive response? Those knee-jerk reactions in which words and body language are regretted once they've been acted out or spoken. You know, you don't put any thought into that. It just comes out. And you might think, oh no, what did I just do? These responses left me feeling like I hadn't been helpful to my child, hadn't made them feel my love and support. And such responses had also not imparted any wisdom or teaching. We can only be an inspiration to our kids and impart wisdom when we're feeling good. And when we're being in a knee-jerk reaction place, we aren't feeling good. So my post-reaction feelings weren't good, and this was my indicator that I wasn't following through with my intent of fostering the close relationship that I wanted with them. And I also wasn't getting what I wanted, and don't we want to get what we want when we're parents? Which was cooperation from the kids and a desired behavior from them at times. Lesson learned. Children react to how you react to them. I soon discovered that when a situation came up and I was deliberately present for my child, when I took the time to really listen and support them and chose what I said and how I offered support, I felt good about my parenting. I was confident that I was moving in the direction of my goals and my intent. In those instances, I learned that clarity attracts clarity. We have to be clear first in order to attract it. And when I approached a situation being clear about the level of cooperation that I wanted from my kids, that's usually, not always, but usually what I got back from them. So to sum it up, I began with a clear and loving intent toward my children, and they always felt whatever energy I was sending their way. I held a vision of cooperation and an intention for whatever resolution was needed. I deliberately chose my responses and was conscious of staying on track to maintain a pattern of good communication and issue resolution that would support my intent in that moment that was happening right now in our lives and also in the future. So what kind of relationship do you want with your children? Do you want to be emotionally close? Do you want your kids to feel comfortable making their own choices while learning from your example? Is there another parent-child relationship that you admire that you can emulate? Why not take some time to write down what your intentions are as a parent and how you want to relate to your children? Thank you. So what I'd like to do now is open up the floor to any questions or comments or further discussion about what I did say or what I didn't say. Repeat the question. No pressure there. So how do you handle a situation from your child when they're pushing against you but you're feeling fine? That's an interesting situation and probably doesn't come up very often. I don't remember being really happy when my children were pushing against me and being able to maintain my alignment. So in those situations, what I did, because I wanted that communication with my kids, is I took a time out. I took a time out because I needed to recenter myself. And we've all been there with children of any age. When you're pushing against each other, you're not going to get what you want. Your child isn't going to get what they want. And you're just going to end up feeling frustrated, right? Timeouts are good for parents. So to remove ourselves from the room and suggest that your child do the same. I didn't find it helpful to send my children into timeouts and then have me still fuming. That wasn't productive. It has to be cooperation and alignment on both sides before there is any chance of communication. Repeat the question. What do you do with a small child when they're being bullied? How do you help them in that situation? It's really important to start with your children and encourage them first and foremost to not believe everything they're told. I always told my children, I don't remember what age I started, but probably with my son later on, it doesn't matter who's telling you something, even if it's me, and it doesn't feel good to you, you don't believe it. You get to choose what you believe. And so the more we build up a child's strong sense of self, no matter what their age, and they know that they, because small children don't know that they don't have to believe what they're being told about themselves, negative things about themselves that don't feel good. So I try to encourage my kids to see how what is coming at you, how it feels. If it feels good, run with it. Absolutely believe it because it feels good to you. And if it doesn't feel good, it's not the truth. It's absolutely not the truth. How do you help a child that comes home with an injury, with any kind of an injury? Well, it's still really important to sit your child down and find out what happened and how it made them feel. You know, and obviously when a child is hurt, it's not going to feel good to them. So that's some damage that needs to be repaired because it's emotional damage as well. It's not just the physical black eye. It's emotional damage. So it's really going back to, again, telling that child how positive they really are and all of the great things about them. And did they fight back or did they not fight back? And what was it that motivated them? It's really important to help young children learn about those feelings. You know, and in very young children, it's good feelings or bad feelings. It's, you know, black or white. So did they or didn't they? And how did it feel to do either of those? To explore, to very early on learn to explore those motivations. Yes. How do you get a child that is not your own child, that is in your home under stressful situations, to start tapping into their own internal guidance? Because the energy, if they're in your home and they're in a situation that you said is, you didn't use the word, but tumultuous or... Yes, tumultuous. See, I can read minds as well. Their children are feeling that energy just like we all do. So already that child is a little bit at a disadvantage because they're very young and they don't understand these subliminal, tumultuous energies that are coming back to them, that they're experiencing all around them. So they require probably, you may have noticed, a little more TLC. So it's really about taking a little bit of time and taking turns in the family to just do the simplest of things with them and ask them how they're feeling. And, you know, they won't always be able to tell you because young children, when they're feeling these energies, they really don't have a clue. But to encourage them to do things for themselves that feel good and that they can determine, that they can understand that. You can ask them questions on how it makes them feel to do certain things and encourage them to do that, to try and diffuse a little bit of that, you know, tumultuous energy that's happening in the home. Is that helpful?
Yes, that is. Good. In fact, I did take part of your book and decided I would take my nephew to the park because he was driving me crazy. And we had the best time. Because I just asked him questions, and he's really, really smart. Mm-hmm. And so I implemented some of your techniques, but I thought I'd come and get some more.
I love that. Well, thank you for that. And you were also able to tap into that joy and that childlike part of you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Be difficult to be at a park and not be able to, you know, tap into that fun and fresh air and frolic and... So you did yourself a favor, too.
I went to the swing set area, and I walked my dog at that park every day.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is really fun.
Exactly. So tomorrow, park. Park again. Cool. That's great. Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. Yes, thank you. Well, I love that question. So how do you change those old habits that you've been used to doing those knee-jerk reactions to a more positive place, right? Okay, so you said the magic word. The first thing is intention and making a new choice. You know, don't you think it's easier when you consciously want to move towards something better that it's easier to do so rather than when you're not noticing you're in a pattern? So that's step one. You make that intent and that deliberate choice that you're going to do whatever it takes to diffuse that. And what you were talking about is called momentum. You know, and we get into positive momentum or we get into that negative momentum. And whichever way we go, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Have you ever noticed when you get mad and you keep at it? Wow, it doesn't take very long before you're furious, right? You're furious. So it's a really simple trick but it's called a deep breath. So when you're just stepping into what you know is that habit, that knee-jerk reaction, see, now you know too much. You're not going to be able to just go right there because you know there's another choice. So you take that deep breath, and you take several deep breaths, because, and what is the value of that simple deep breath? It grounds you, it centers you, it gives you time. It gives you time to remember that you have a choice, that you do have a choice, that you're not actually hardwired to be reactive, really quite the opposite. It's well-being is really what is always, always coming toward you and through you is well-being. But when we get reactive, we just temporarily, you know, put that board in our stream, that stream of well-being, we put that board up. So we just want to make sure we don't just nail it in, you know. We want to take that deep breath and know we have a choice. And sometimes it means leaving the room, like I mentioned. Just really centering yourself and making a new choice, because you can. Is that helpful? Do you need more detail? You're welcome. Thank you. How do you teach your children about their internal guidance system in relation to school? I'll let my daughters answer that. We had our school stuff. Of course, it's normal. But we also, don't we know in our own lives and through watching and experiencing children that if they don't want to learn something, they're not going to? What about when you're in a situation and you're just not interested? Are you benefiting from whatever is happening around you? You have that emotional, mental wall up, and your mind is thinking about your weekend or whatever fun thing you get to do because you don't want that. Children are no different. So it's encouraging children to do the best they can, always, of course. But we can't force our kids with school. I remember when Raven was in college and she did not like a certain class and she absolutely actually hated the class. And she wasn't going to benefit from just thinking, oh, today I love the class. Boy, I'm going to learn something. You can't do that sort of wide emotional stretch that way. So I encouraged her to start to appreciate even the tiniest things about that class, even if it was just the view out the window that day. So it's learning, it's using the tools to get to a better feeling place, and we can teach that to our kids. We can teach them that appreciation. And we can be willing to work with them and not try and cram it down their throats, because I know I did, and it never worked. It never worked the way I wanted it to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love that question. So how is your family life impacted when everyone's tapped in to their internal guidance system? So when you're tapped into your internal guidance system, when you're tapped in, that means you're in alignment. That means you are connected to your well-being. Haven't you just been around a situation or people before that are tapped in and don't they feel good? Don't you want to be around those people that inspire you? That's their energy that you're feeling. You're feeling their alignment. So if you can ever have a day where everyone in your family is in alignment, congratulations. You know, everyone. But alignment is the key. You know, alignment means you are connected to your well-being, where all of your answers are found for yourself and in the relationship. Yes. Jay and I have great communication because we're in alignment, and we make sure that we only speak to each other when we're in alignment, because we tried it the other way. It's not fun, and nothing went right. So alignment is the key for that open communication and inspiration. We can't inspire our children if we don't feel good. Cannot do it. Thank you. Do you have one more question, miss?
On page 53 in your book, there's a conversation between an adult and a child, and I haven't read, but it looks like it would be something that might help others in the room. I was wondering if you could read it.
Page 53. Okay. When your child When your child acts out of anger, it's an ideal time for you to teach them the difference between acting from alignment and being connected to their higher self, that is, feeling good, and choosing behaviors that come from feeling bad. In my generation, we were taught, think before you act. I actually believe it's more appropriate to teach our children, feel before you act. So a conversation between you and your six-year-old who hit her little brother might go something like this. Do you know why you hit your brother? Your daughter. He grabbed my crayons and made me mad. You. How did your brother react when you hit him? Well, he hit me back. Did any of this get your crayons back? Nope. You. Next time your brother does something you don't like, try and think about what you want. In this case, it was your crayons. You already know that getting mad only makes your brother mad and doesn't get your crayons back. So think about your heart and what would make your heart feel better. All of your answers are in your heart. When you and I draw pictures of hearts with your crayons, what does the picture mean? Daughter, love. Yes, it means love. I would like you to think about how love can get you what you want from your brother. Maybe that means you ask him nicely, or you find other crayons. Remember that the quickest way to get what you want will always be by not getting mad. Try distracting your brother and making him laugh. We know how effective laughter isn't it? No, we? It's a great diffuser. It's a great diffuser. So thanks, everybody. Thank you for your questions and for being here. I appreciate it.
That's it for this podcast extra from Speakers Forum. Sharon Ballantyne spoke at University Bookstore on August 2nd. Tune in again soon for more from Speakers Forum.